I join in the announcements already made to express my personal appreciation for your presence tonight. I have preachers in the audience. Some of you I know and some of you I don't. There's one little guy I really know, Jerry Jacobs. In fact, I was at the hospital when he was born. That's been a few days ago. And he brought his trainee with him, and we had a study today, and it's good to see him as well. Good to have all of you, and I appreciate you coming and your interest in our study. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to us about the topic of the board, why so few find the narrow way. Ever wonder why? Not very many find that narrow way. The first thing I want you to think about, that is the Lord's people have always been among the few. Right? In Deuteronomy 7:7, he said that the Lord did not choose you because you were the greatest of people. In fact, he said you were the fewest of all people. You know how many were saved in the ark? Few, that is, eight souls saved by water. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Ever think about that? Why so few are saved today and find that narrow way? Well, it's not because there is no way. I just read about it. There is a way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Isaiah 35:8 talks about that way. Hebrews 10:20 talks about the way. And Acts 9 and verse 2 talks about the way. And so we know there's a way. But why is it that so few people find that narrow way? Well, it's not because it cannot be understood. Paul, writing the Ephesians, in Ephesians 6:3-5, says, whereby when you read, you can understand. In the book of Ephesians 5:17, he commanded us to understand the Lord's will. So it's not because of these things. But why is it that so few people find this narrow way? One reason is they do not know the scriptures. Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 1 Timothy 2:3-4, the Lord's desire is they will come unto a knowledge of the truth, and that none be lost. In John 5:39, the Lord said, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. In the book of Matthew 22:29, there were people that did not understand about the resurrection because they did not know the scripture. That's when the Bible calls upon us to study in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. But another reason so few people find the narrow way is they put faith in men rather than in God. Right in the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2:5, Paul urged early Christians not to put their faith in men, but in God. If we put our faith in men, we'll be disappointed because the majority of men have been wrong. And then as you think about why so few people find the narrow way, one reason is, you may think this is funny, but I'll explain it to you. They cut off the end of the ham. Really? Yeah, they cut off the end of the ham. Somebody said, what in the world is that about? Perhaps you've heard the story of a young lady that every time she cooked a ham, she cut the end off. Somebody asked her why. She said, I don't know. My mother always did. I'll ask her. So she asked her mom, and Mom, how come you always cut the end of the ham off? She said, I don't know. My mother always did. And it gets back to great-great-grandma, and they ask her, how come you cut the end of the ham off? Her answer, because it would not fit in my pan. Now, what's the point? People do a lot of things today by tradition. Things have been handed down. There are two kinds of tradition. There's a condition that's good, that's been taught by the apostles. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. And then the apostle Paul, writing to Galatians, in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, talked about he followed the tradition of his fathers, and that, of course, had led him astray. Paul, why'd you do that? Because he put his faith in men. In Colossians 2, 8, we're told not to do that. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Why so few people find this narrow way? Remember, they cut the end of ham off. Okay? But again, few people find the narrow way because they go by what seems right. Ask somebody, how come you believe that? They say it just seems right. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I wonder what Solomon said about it. In the book of Proverbs 16:25, you remember that passage? There is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof, the ways of death. You remember Naaman, the leper, who was commissioned to dip in the Jordan 7 times? But he got mad about all that and turned away in a rage. And in 2 Kings 5 and verse 11, you remember what he said among other things? Behold, you know the rest of that? I thought. Guess what? It didn't make a bit of difference what he thought. It did not change God's plan, not in the little. And so sometimes people don't find the narrow way because they just go for what seems right or what feels right. But as you think about that, there are folks who never find the narrow way because they listen to a lie rather than the truth. Paul, writing the Thessalonians, wrote about that in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. How there be those who would believe a lie and consequently be damned. Do you remember the story in 1 Kings 13? A good story. When the men of God was called upon to go and cry out against the false gods, they had moved the place of worship from Jerusalem because it's too far to go. Set up 2 cities in Dan and Bethel, and the Lord didn't like that. His place where he put his name was in Jerusalem. So, false worship was being carried on. The man of God goes to cry out against him. And the Lord said, I want you to go. Don't eat any bread while you're there. Don't drink any water. And go home a different way. You think he understood that? He did. He repeated it 2 or 3 times. And so he cries out against that and starts home. Some boys were there. They go home and they tell the father about it. He said, where'd he go? And so he said, go get him and bring him back to eat and to drink. And the fellow said, I'm a prophet also. And God wants you to come back and all that. Remember that? Remember that story? But the kicker is, he lied to him. He listened to a lie. And as a result, he never got home alive. Remember, a lion met him in the street. Cost him his life. And some people never find the narrow way because they listened to a lie rather than the truth. And I could talk to you tonight, I don't intend to do that, about a lot of spiritual lies that we hear today. A lot of them. When people teach things that are not so, it becomes a lie. And a lot of people have been deceived into thinking that. But as we catalog things about this subject tonight, people never find the narrow way because they get to thinking that one way is just as good as another. Doesn't make any difference, just pick out one. Somebody will say now, suppose you're going to go to Chicago. There are different ways to get to Chicago, right? But the problem is we're not going to Chicago. We're headed toward heaven, the home of the soul. And the Bible identifies there's one way. I am the way, the Lord said, John 14:6. If we read in Ephesians 4, those seven ones, in order to keep the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 4, there is Jeep advertising the Cherokee has a little slogan is, there is only one. I got to think about that. You know, that'd be a good sermon by itself, Jared. There is only one. One what? Ephesians 4:4. One body. That's the church. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church. By the way, the church is never called a church in the Bible, but it's the singular church. Like Jesus said, I will build what? My singular church. One spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One hope. Heaven. The home of the soul. One Lord. That's Jesus Christ. One faith. You need to know when you read the word faith in the Bible, it's used two ways. Sometimes it means I just believe in you. Like Hebrews 11:6. But sometimes the word faith means the gospel system. How do you know that? In Galatians 1:23, it said that Paul preached the gospel, preached the faith. But in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he said he preached the gospel. They equate. They're one and the same. When he said there's one faith, he's simply saying there is one system by which God justifies man. One baptism. If I were to ask you, and I will, how many baptisms do you think the Bible talks about? You know how many different baptisms there are in the Bible? Six. Six different Bible baptisms. But someone said, well, that can't be right because the Lord said there's one. But here's the problem. It's easy to understand. Four are in the past. One in the future. You don't want that one. Baptized in fire. And when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, there was just one. It's the baptism that Jesus talked about when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. And so, thinking one way is good as another won't cut. That's one reason. A lot of people, and until they change their thinking, will not find that narrow way. Think with me again. A lot of people have been taught that God is too good to punish anybody for anything they do. If you think that, I'd like for you to have a little talk with Nadab and Abihu. Remember those boys? Over the book of Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. They offered strange fire. That is, they got it from some other place than what God said to do about it. And God didn't like that. He meant what he said and said what he meant. And as a result of that, they lost their lives because they may have got to thinking, well, it doesn't make any difference. Fire is fire, isn't it? Is fire fire? Not necessarily. Or if you get to thinking God is too good to punish anybody for anything they do, I want to introduce you to another person. Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? God's very particular, very strict about stuff, things. They had a thing called the Ark of God, or the Ark of the Covenant. And in Numbers 4:15, the Lord said, don't touch it. By the way, when the Lord says, don't touch something, keep your hands off of it. That's what that means. Well, they built an ox cart. That's the first mistake. And the only way they were to transport this thing was through some staves. Only certain people carried. Remember that? The Levites and certain of them. Remember that? And they put on this ox cart and they were moving along with it and the oxen stumbled. Think about turnover. Those that put his hand on it. What did God say in 4:15 of Numbers? Don't touch it. Let's do that. And so Maybe he thought, well, God's not going to punish us for that. He's too good. You know better, don't you? Read the story, 2 Samuel 6. By the way, God does love us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. In Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you know what happened? Christ died for us. Some people will never find the narrow way by thinking, well, God's not going to punish me. He's too good. He loves me too much. God's a just God and just demands punishment sometimes. But as you think about our lesson tonight, some people will never find the narrow way because they fail to ask questions. Remember the eunuch in Acts 8? One of the conversions, right? Acts 8, 30 and 31. Riding on in the chariot, been to Jerusalem to worship, traveled 1,500 miles one way in a horse and buggy called chariot. Going back home, reading the scriptures in the book of Isaiah 53 about somebody he had no idea what he's reading about. And so, you know what he did? He asked a question. Of whom the prophets, what was he talking about? Of himself or some other man? And as a result of that, Philip began to teach him. In Acts 8:35, he preached unto him Jesus. And by the way, that's the gospel in one sentence. Preached unto him Jesus. He learned the truth, believed it, obeyed it, and went home rejoicing. Sometimes you need to ask some questions. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to ask about the church you're a member of. What's its name? Where did the name come from? Who started it? When did it start? What did they teach? Can you give me book, chapter, and verse for all this stuff? Tell me about their worship. What kind of work do you do? What do I have to do to be saved, to be a member of that church? Ask some questions. A failure to do that keeps a lot of people from never coming to a knowledge of that straight and narrow way. Sometimes. Some people never find the narrow way because they have been deceived. What is deceit? When you have been led to believe something is so when it isn't, you've been deceived. And the Bible warns us about it. Like, be not deceived, God is not mocked. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good morals. Galatians 5 talks about be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 6:9, don't be deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13, James 1:22-26, and talks about pure religion and a man that doesn't do the right thing there, he has been deceived. Don't be deceived. The only thing that's going to keep you from being deceived is to know the truth, having read it, believed it, and obeyed it. One more of the lessons yours. Sometimes there are those who never find the narrow way because they have not been taught the proper Bible plan of salvation. The world says you don't have to do anything. Maybe just raise your hand. Pray through. Just accept the Lord in your heart. All you got to do. I wish I could tell you that tonight. Are there those who say you're saved wholly by grace? We are saved by grace. We're saved by a lot of things. I could give you 15 things and scriptures for each of those to show that a lot of things that work together to bring about man's salvation. Not one thing by itself saves. A bunch of them. But most people have not been taught God's plan of salvation. And so they'll never find the narrow way. It's really simple. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or die in your sins. John 8:24. Repentance is required of everybody. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Repentance is a change of mind, the result in a change of your life. It must be done. You must quit doing what's wrong and do what's right. What about that confession? Somebody said, our preacher said, you come and confess your sins. He got that wrong. Unless you're a member of the church and then sin. Confessing of sins is for a Christian who sins. 1 John 1, verse 9. What do you confess in becoming a Christian? Jesus said, if you confess me, you mean, before men, I confess you before my Father in heaven. And I don't know of any better example of that public confession than that of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. You know what he's saying? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By the way, did you make that confession just before you were baptized? Sometimes I hear preachers ask the candidate, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They say, You like that? You think that's what the eunuch said? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's a confession you need to make when you become a member of the Lord's church, when you become a Christian. Is that all? Not quite. What about baptism? Is baptism really necessary? Do I really have to be baptized? No, you don't have to. By that I mean nobody's going to make you. But if you want your sins forgiven, past sins, you have to be baptized for the remission of those sins. Acts 2:38. And our Lord said, he that believeth, and. You know, words are important in the Bible. And. He that believeth, and. That means something else is coming. And what? And is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. But somebody said, well, you don't have to be baptized because the Lord said, he didn't say, he that believes baptized. He that believeth is baptized to be saved, but he that believeth not to be baptized. Why didn't he say he that's not baptized shall be damned? Didn't have to. Because if you don't believe, you can't be baptized. No way. It's kind of like eating. He that eateth and digesteth his food shall live. Right? He that eateth not shall die. I didn't have to say the whole thing again, did it? Because everybody knows if you don't eat, you don't digest too well. Right? And so they fool people that. One preacher said, well, when you come to remission of sins, you don't need to be baptized for remission of sins because that little word for don't mean that. It don't. And he used this illustration. He said, now, you take an aspirin for a headache, right? You ever take an aspirin for a headache? No, to get a headache? Do you take an aspirin to get a headache? Well, of course not. You take an aspirin for the relief of a headache, and then it fits. You see the difference? Words mean something, don't they? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't forget that. And it's for the right reason that we're raised to sins. It's to be in the one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. That's the church. Somebody said, I didn't know you was baptized into the church. Have you read 1 Corinthians 12:13 before? Baptized into one body. That's the church. Colossians 1:24. Baptized to have your sins remitted. To have washed away. Acts 22:16. You're baptized to contact the blood of Christ. You know, in John 19:33-34, Jesus is already dead. They pierced his side from which flowed blood and water, right? Now, somehow, for that blood to save, you've got to come in contact with its effects. How do you do that? One way. Romans 6:3-4 said, we're baptized into his death. That's where he shed his blood. That's the only way the blood saves. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. So everybody would be saved on that count if it wasn't for the blood business. So, that's the plan. not faith only, not holy by grace, but obeying the gospel. If you're this audience tonight and you've never been baptized into Christ, we hope you'll do that. It's essential, it's necessary, and you found the narrow way. We hope you'll enter it, stay in it, and go to heaven when you die. Or if you've obeyed the gospel, gone astray, and want to come back to be restored, we're going to sing the song. Somebody says, if I just done this, if I just done, no, just as I am.